This election night, C-SPAN delivers something different. Not just the presidential race, but the state races that will decide the balance of power in Congress. No political pundits, no spin, no commercials. Just the candidates, the results, and you. Follow C-SPAN this election night, Tuesday, November 5th, on TV, online, or on the free C-SPAN Now video app.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball.
I don't like it. I want to be up there in Group A. I don't care who we get. We should be up there competing against them. But, you know, as you said, we're going to win that group and then get promoted, hopefully.
Subscribe to the feed in the OTB Sports app now. OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to episode 19 of the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Boys, it hasn't been long since we left each other in Killarney. What was it, Saturday morning? There was no sign of James on Saturday morning, Paddy.
He's gone missing in action.
We collected the clubs from the house. But
the phone and do not disturb.
I did notice that, yeah.
Paddy, can we get the 30-second review of where myself and James are at as golfers?
Really?
I was fine until Tommy said ramping up the mind games, which was very unfair.
I thought it was going to be a lovely casual round amongst friends and you two competitive themselves. But it was funny, your game got better and better the more Bulmers that was consumed. The swings got a little bit looser, and I'll tell you, by the back
Tommy was pouring it out in the grass.
I shouldn't have been allowed to drive a buggy.
I tell you, there's golfers in there somewhere, lads. There's golfers.
We had to ditch the buggies.
It ran out of juice.
The battery was gone out of juice on the way up the hill.
I thought that was bad form, James.
That was similar enough to the three of us by Saturday night. We'd ran out of juice.
Ran out of juice.
They're all for that crack, boys. But what a...
Paddy, you are, I have to say, you are... Well, he's very impressive, James, isn't he? And he got better as well. The less he could see the ball, the better he got.
I think he was about 2 under there, was he?
Not to tell everyone.
We lined up on the first. Off the blues.
We thought we were on the wrong course.
We left the lads play through, and they were like just took off the whites off a completely different tee box, basically. And we were on the blues hacking around.
Yeah.
Dude, but you didn't even know what course we were meant to be at. Like, are we in the right place here?
I thought we were.
I think we're in the right vicinity.
In fairness, it was a great post-production meeting, and we were well looked after. James, you sorted that out, didn't you? Got it lined up for us.
It was the Legion golf outing. So, as always, only the best.
Thanks to Legion for putting up with us. We'll put it that way.
And the Flesk for sponsoring. Flesk Restaurant for sponsoring the team.
Thanks very much.
They invite us back? Probably not.
I think
we have to make a round of golf mandatory post road shows. We had a great night, didn't we? It was great fun. Mark O'Shea was top class. You can listen back to that podcast or catch the YouTube back. I think the highlight of the night was your Paul Galvin, Micheál Quirk story. That was my favourite one.
And it was true. Like, people thought I was telling Porky's there. Absolutely true.
So you'd have
some
to go back.
Some warm up in the dressing room with 6 studs on, like, putting Mike Quirk on his back.
I still don't know if it's true, but you'll have to go back and listen to the show.
I swear to God, that is true. And the most dangerous thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Paddy, you had the feed up this weekend afterwards, did you? You took it easy. You watched the games on TV. Galway, your call for Matty Tierney, I can't remember whether it was this year or last year, is coming to fruition. He was awesome for Galway.
Yeah, it's just that the challenge for him is the more consistency in doing that. We know he's the talent. Everyone knows he's the talent. I think with Galway, and it was again yesterday, I know subsequently Paul Joyce has come out and said Shane Walsh was ill, and that's why he took him out. They still haven't managed to get all of those guys combined, playing brilliantly up front. Like, it was Tierney yesterday, it was Comer the last day, it was Walsh in the All-Ireland final. The day when that all clicks for Galway and they're all hot at the same time, what a force they're going to be. But no, for Matty Tierney, we didn't expect, we knew it was going to be a big ask for Sligo to get Anton out of that game. And they actually started unbelievably well. And you're like, whoa, they're coming to play here. But that second quarter, Galway just overpowered them. And Tierney, to the fore of it. Kind of job done for Galway. To be fair, they move on to the All-Ireland Series. Their next game's against Tyrone, obviously, on Saturday week. So it's got to ramp up big time for them. But no real surprises with how that match panned out on Sunday, unfortunately. It was kind of faded out by halftime, yeah.
It was kind of the same with both provincial finals. Myself and James were at the Kerry Clare game as well. And James, it was a frantic first couple of minutes. You know, we know the game was played in the backdrop of the very sad passing of Alan Clifford. And it was messy, though, at the start. And Kerry settled themselves by fisting over 2 points over the bar. Yeah. Clare's middle third turnovers, talking to Colm Collins after the game, he was sickened. Like, turnovers when they weren't under that much pressure. So I don't know what got to them, but Clare certainly didn't put their best foot forward.
No, but frantic is the word. And the thing about frantic was Clare actually contributed to that by giving away the ball so sloppily. And then Kerry were able to pick off their scores and some of their goals by transitioning off those turnovers. Whereas if Clare had just been a bit safer, a bit more controlled and relaxed and not try to be so kind of chaotic, I think it would have suited their game better, because as soon as Kerry turned them over and Clare were out of shape, Kerry had done a lot of work on goal chances over the last couple of weeks, and you could tell straight away that they were going to go for the jugular, go for the kill. And their first 2 points were hand-passed over the bar. They were goal chances. They just probably fell into the wrong, well, not the wrong hands, but into kind of defenders' hands and Darren Moynihan. And then the third chance, Clifford rounded his fullback opponent and was given an unbelievably harsh free in. Do you remember, he should have gotten advantage and he would have stuck a goal.
Some people said that Henry did him for overcarrying, but I thought he just didn't put it, he just didn't play advantage. It was a weird one.
I think what happened was he fouled him the first time.
Hmm.
Clifford went on and he was giving him the advantage, but then he actually fouled him again by pulling the jersey. So he didn't give him the advantage the second time he brought the free back.
Okay.
So, but even the way Clifford said, right, I'm taking him on here, because sometimes it's easy to say at the start of a game, I'll chip the point, get myself into the game, here we go. But he went for the side step, went for the goal. So that kind of did say to me, the carrier in it for the goals here, and just kept on in that fashion.
Yeah.
I thought Kerry were really slick in that first quarter, even though some of their finishing was a little bit off. But I thought their movement, their cohesiveness up front, it was the best I'd seen from Kerry to date.
Yeah.
And maybe you're right that I think they got 2-3 from turnovers in the first half. And they would have missed opportunities on top of that as well. So Clare being a little bit sloppy, and even up front, Clare had opportunities, and the game, Fitzmaurice kept mentioning it in the commentary of the game as well. You guys wouldn't have heard of being at it, but it was just for Clare to have any sort of chance in that game, they needed to be so clinical themselves up front, never mind getting into turnovers in the middle third. So Clare being a little bit off it contributed to Kerry really, really punishing them as well. But I thought some of the movement, I think Darren Moynihan's goal, crossfield pass, Gainey could, I agree, Gainey could easily just chip that over. He's in the game with a score. But it was clear, it was like, we're going for goals here. And it was a beautiful goal. So I thought Kerry were really slick, bar maybe the very final aspect, their finishing. But some of their interplay up front, I thought, was the best we've seen from them so far. And the same as Galway. They now go into, they play Mayo next. So talk about ramping up in terms of intensity and the challenge that's going to be there. It's the first time we'll see Mayo in 5 weeks since their surprise defeat against Roscommon and Castlebar. So some of these games coming up in the next couple of weeks after the provincial finals are off the charts.
Yeah.
They're so
tasty. With the goal chances, it was nice to see the lads actually like maybe take a dummy, compose themselves and finish with conviction. Like, they didn't doubt themselves and say, can I slip this to someone for a tap-in and miss the chance? You know, like, they actually, if it was on, they went themselves nice and clinical, and they can improve on that as the weeks go on. And then if there is a handy backdoor pass, that'll come as well. But I remember Kerry were trying to walk the ball into the goal a couple of times, and it cost them before that they took that one pass too many. Sometimes you just need to say, right, maybe I can dummy pass this fella and just ping it in the corner. So a couple of them did that, and I thought that was very impressive.
Yeah,
it wasn't the big feedback from the Tipperary game that they didn't create these goal chances by them.
Yeah.
And it was clear in a couple of weeks, it was like, right, we are going after this. And similar to the Connacht final, by halftime, the game was done and dusted. So second half of both those provincial finals were pretty much non-events. But for Kerry and Galway, they've ticked the boxes, confidence is up, and they're ready to rock for 2 weeks time to start the All-Ireland series.
Yeah, there's a very good Twitter account I've noticed it over the last couple of weeks and months. It's at No Plan B GAA. It's called the GAA Performance Process, and they've broken down the five goals that Kerry scored at the weekend. And it's the runs into vacated space, things we've talked about before, the dummy, the bounce dummy that they all use, kind of basketball skills, the ball carrier, that time when Paddy put the hands up and said, go into David, and he dropped it into David and he caught it in the air, and the backdoor cuts. So we saw that throughout with all five goals. James, looking on from above, was it just that Kerry were on it? And one of the things you mentioned was the kind of the physicality stakes where, you know, Kerry were much more physical and you could see that. Was it that they were on it, that they just ripped the Clare defence asunder, or was it more a deficiency on Clare's part, do you think?
No, I think the Kerry are operating off a different page of the book. Do you know what I mean? Like, Kerry just looked way slicker, way sharper, but you still need to practice those things a lot. So the physicality, that's been going on probably for 5 or 6 years under Jason McGahan. And you can tell that every time Clare took the ball into any type of contact, Kerry were there with their chest up and just putting the Clare lads under pressure and not letting them execute any sort of a dangerous skill. Like, they weren't able to kick pass. They were all just kind of hand passing short because they were all under so much pressure physically. And then once you have the mindset of we're going for goals, and you've probably practiced some of those moves on the warm weather training camp, as we mentioned, once you kind of have those patterns of play in your head, then when you do physically turn someone over, you can go straight into it. You know, rather than going for maybe the safer option of a point. So, like, those skills are always there in the top teams. But if you don't keep going back to them, keep reminding fellas, physicality gives us more of the ball. When you get it, first thought in your head should be, can I kick as close to that goal as possible? And when you do get the ball in there, first choice in your head should be, is there a goal on?
Yeah. It was a pity. There were the two games that were live at the weekend on Sunday. The competitiveness really just wasn't there, and I suppose we've seen that with the provincials, the lopsided nature of them for years and years and years. The reason why 1992 for Clare was such a big deal is that it's so rare. It's only happened twice. They've beaten Kerry or they've won Munster finals. For Sligo and for Clare heading into the round robin group stage, Clare have Donegal at home in the first game. Is that a good fixture for them to have?
That's Paddy? A good fixture in terms of the draws they could have got. That is an opportunity for Colm Collins and that Clare team to bounce back. I can see why they're frustrated, but yes, I think they're better than that. I think even Clare at their absolute best are probably not going to beat Kerry. That's the reality of it. That's just the nature of where Kerry are at. But if Clare put in their best performance of the season, I think, and in Ennis as well against Donegal, I think that's a massive opportunity for them to get a big, big win under their belts. Donegal are obviously, after their kind of really disappointing loss to Down in the Ulster Championship up in Newry, they've had a couple of weeks themselves to lick their wounds and try and work on things under Aidan O'Rourke. And that's the interesting thing with the All-Ireland series. For those teams that were beaten early in the Provincial Championships, they've had that window. We haven't seen them for the guts of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, mm-hmm. 5 weeks in some instances. What is their bounce back going to be like? And it's, you know, it's not the worst game for Donegal either. I think that's an even match. But they'd be thinking, if we can go and get an away win in our first game, we could still have some sort of positive aspect to take from this championship, because it's been pretty dour, obviously, for Donegal through 2023 to date. But for Colm Collins and Clare, that's not a bad game. They're at home and they're against the team who are not really in top form. So,
yeah,
like I say, there's going to be so many games starting from Saturday week onwards when the All-Ireland series kicks off. But for Clare and Sligo yesterday, I think they're up against the two of the best teams in the country. That was going to be a massive ask for them to get anything out of either of those games. And that's how it transpired, really.
But they are the contenders. And James, we spoke about it on our post-match chat that you can find in the Off the Ball GA feed or on the Off the Ball YouTube. Some of the positives for Clare and some of the things that you noticed looking at their attack and play that, you know, they have good individuals there, but they're maybe getting in their own way a little bit at times. So you can go check out that. I have a question on what you want to see from Dublin, Paddy, this weekend, because we kind of see Kerry work on the things they needed to work on after the Tipperary game, create the goal chances. Yes, Jack O'Connor won't be happy with the amount of scores they conceded. We saw Galway, after maybe a slow enough start where Sligo kind of settled, take over and boss that game. Ian Burke, I thought, was really impressive again. Kicked a couple of nice points from play. Tierney kicked 2-7. You said it yourself, all six haven't clicked yet, but they're moving in the right direction. Dublin, we felt, looked a little undercooked against Kildare. We've spoken a lot about the off-field chat about Dublin Kildare. What do you need to see from Dublin this weekend against Louth in the Leinster final?
It's more like the first day out against Laois, where it was really direct, it was really fast, albeit against like a poor Laois team. And to be fair, Kildare had the homework done. We spoke about this last week. The Kildare were not going to allow this kind of just loads of space in front of their in their full back line and things like that. So Dublin, I think they're going to face more of that challenge on Sunday with Loud. I was surprised at how maybe advanced Loud were in their game against Offaly. I think Offaly really targeted fast transitions and direct ball inside and caused Loud issues. I would expect Loud to be a bit more conservative in their setup.
What were you surprised by?
I thought Loud were a little bit more open than I would have expected. Yeah. Against Offaly, I would be very, very surprised if they adopt that approach on Sunday in Croke Park against Dublin. I think the challenge Dublin will face is similar to what they had against Kildare, but you're hoping that Dublin, look, they're bounced back from their loss in Celtic Park to Derry, where the second half was really poor, was really slow, it was back to Dublin being really pedestrian on the ball and in their attack. Over the next couple of weeks through the National League, they completely picked up on that. They learned from that game, which is what we're saying Kerry have shown at the weekend. You're hoping that Dublin take the field in Croke Park, and they've looked at the last 2 weeks, the sloppiness in attack, the no real cohesion up front in their attack, particularly in the first half, and just slow on the ball. That pace, that edge in their attack wasn't there. They're fully aware of that from the Kildare match. They'll have reviewed it, and you're hoping as a Dublin supporter to see on Sunday in Croke Park, whatever setup Loud bring, that Dublin are just far slicker and far more cohesive in attack. And it'd be interesting, I think the big thing, what's the team going to be? Because Dublin seem to be, it's not all just injuries and things like that, they seem to be shuffling their pack around in the last couple of weeks. Are we going to see the best 15 players available on the pitch on Sunday? Because it's getting into that stage. And what we've seen at the weekend just gone, Kerry, okay, it wasn't perfect, but there was a noticeable step up from what we've seen at any stage this year from Kerry to what we've seen in the Gaelic grounds yesterday. And the same, like you've said, with Galway, they've come through a really good Connacht Championship and kind of swatted aside Sligo. I think they're the two of the main contenders. You're hoping Dublin can do that with their game against Loud, but it's not as straightforward as you would have thought maybe 2 or 3 months ago if this was the Leinster final.
The two to come in, Paddy, say, into that starting 15 for Dublin, right? If I'm just going through the team that started against Kildare, it's McCaffrey and Howard really that you'd like to see. That would really strengthen them, I think. Like everyone else, apart from that,
hasn't seen much game time, even off the bench. McCaffrey, you would imagine if he's injury-free, what a perfect tool to have against a set defence. That rock pace. Do we see Costello from the start? Rock? We don't know. And maybe Dublin don't want anyone to know, which might be part of it as well. But in terms of, I'd love to see the best 15 players available on it and set out a big statement going into the All-Ireland Series on Sunday.
I think we all want to see that. It's so surprising why Howard is not starting. Or even getting game time. Costello, you know, fair enough, Costello's kind of been in and out of the team under different managers and can be a brilliant sub. And obviously McCaffrey will probably start as the year goes on. But because Dublin struggles so much against that kind of, not blanket defence, but Kildare got a lot of bodies behind the ball. Kildare or Loud are going to be even better at that. So
You'd be
concerned that they don't have 3 or 4 to come in to strengthen. They probably have those 2. You know, from his strongest team.
James, can I ask you, what would, as a neutral observer, what would please you? What would make you happy that Dublin are further along than what you would think they are at the minute, at the weekend? What do you need to see?
I actually would like to see them open up a bit like Kerry did the weekend in terms of just go for something maybe off the cuff. Go for more long-range passing, backdoor cuts. Go for a cornerback running all the way into the full forward line again, like Philly used to do when these fellas. Like, I think it's just very, not conservative, but very predictable by Dublin in attack. And they're trying to do a certain thing. They've obviously done a lot of drills in coaching, how to work the shot. But, I mean, you only have to watch a couple of videos to figure out what a team is trying to do. Whereas if you have the unpredictable players where they could literally throw a dummy and throw an outside of the boot to the far post. That completely messes with the defence because they haven't worked on defending that at all. But I think the Dublin have lost that unpredictability. They're just a bit slow and a bit kind of lethargic at the moment in attack.
We said it. If you look through their struggles in 2022 through the National League when they were poor, a couple of their games in this year's National League, when Dublin are pedestrian on the ball, and I agree, when there's not that variety in attack, when there's not that risk in their play, and they're so used to playing a certain way that have brought loads and loads of success. But if you're saying, what suits this group of Dublin players now, if you have a full forward line of Mannion, Costello, Conor Callan, like anyone like that, you want to get them the ball as much as you can, as fast as you can. And that's runners from deep, it's long kick pass, and it's more risk in your play. And that's, I agree, is it, even as a, not a neutral, but if I was a neutral, that's what I'd like to watch. I'd like to see these marquee forwards try and get manufactured one-on-ones and get the ball up the pitch really quickly. When Dublin do that, they're one of the top teams in the country, 100%, and they have the capability of doing it. But we've seen the issue with Dublin when they're not at their best, it is overly conservative. It's overly passive in attack. And now they're going to try and create that environment where they're going to try and flood those channels and make it really difficult for Dublin to do that. But if we're talking about Dublin as All-Ireland contenders and winning this whole thing, we need to start seeing even snippets of this starting on Sunday. We don't need a full 70-minute performance, but I'd love to see some really direct attacking play from them. And as well, not just on the attacking side, I thought defensively, their discipline against Kildare, they were giving away a lot of cheap frees, things like that. I think as an overall performance, there's so much area for improvement from Dublin from 2 weeks ago. That's what I'm looking for this weekend, and a good result, obviously.
Yeah, the thing is, if Dublin beat Loud, as the bookies would expect this weekend, they enter a group with Sligo, Roscommon, Kildare. So, as you said, we don't need to see everything, but you'd like to see something small, because there is four games until, hypothetically, you're in an All-Ireland quarter-final, when really, which is the thing with this championship, the season properly gets going, because we are playing 24 matches now after this weekend to knock out just four teams.
They need to start playing their very best team and their very best way, because the games are going to start running out.
Yeah,
that group is not a difficult group. I mean, that's being nice, very nice. That group is cat.
Larry and Paddy. Larry McCarthy and Paddy did well now for that group for Dublin.
He did, but like, that's Dublin.
All I'm getting is abuse from all angles.
I know, you poor thing.
Crow Park, Diego. I can't turn on anything these days.
Switch off the notifications, Paddy. That's my advice to you.
Shut down everything.
But Dublin, right? Look at Dublin, Paddy. They're going to get, if they get through that group, which they will, another division two. They're going to get either Mayo. They'll get a Mayo or a Tyrone or a Galway. And even if it is one of those teams, like, that's a very tough quarterfinal there. Very tough quarterfinal. So they're going to have a very tough quarterfinal, very tough semifinal to get to a final. And they're going to be caught there. They're going to be completely undercooked.
James, I feel like everyone else from Kerry working in the media hears James O'Donoghue and thinks, why is he not on brief? Why is he not on message? Like, you are so refreshingly consistent in your doubts around Dublin. I love it.
I told you, everyone in Kerry is a closet Dublin fan. They're afraid to say anything out the way. I
didn't think that was the case last Thursday night.
Paddy, you were loved. You were loved, Paddy. I just saw Marco Shea casting eyes towards you a few times, saying, "James, would you shut up? Would you?" So yeah. Listen, you're going to get real legit analysis on the pod.
The threats are coming from other directions. They're coming from Galway. I think Galway are,
and don't forget the North.
Realistic, yeah, the ones to beat. Then you have Derry and Tyrone are going to be very dangerous. Armagh. Yeah. All these teams are coming.
Yeah, 100%.
To wrap up on the Leinster final is Sunday. I'm interested to see Loud's approach from the get-go. Can they get Sam Roy and Downey and these guys who are sharp, sharp shooters? Can they cause trouble for that Dublin defence? And how do Dublin deal with Loud's defensive setup? Because I agree with parts of what James is saying. Not all of it, definitely not. But parts of it, I think you want to see some sort of credentials from Dublin as All-Ireland contenders this Sunday. Some sort of statement. Because we've seen it against Laois.
Great.
And then we've seen nearly the exact opposite against Kildare 2 weeks later. What are we going to see this Sunday? Because you don't like any of the top teams, and they're talking about winning the All-Ireland. You don't want loads of inconsistency that can come back to bite you. You want to start seeing the real deal.
For sure. We're going to have a look at the Ulster final after the break. Might have a little chat about GAA Go as well. The fixtures that have been confirmed in the round robin are Clare and Donegal on Saturday the 20th of May. That's in Ennis. Kerry Mayo in Fitzgerald Stadium on GAA Go. Galway Tyrone in Peir Stadium on GAA Go. And on Sunday, Sligo and Kildare. So Sligo have a home game against Kildare. So they're four interesting games.
I'm going back to Kerry with the looks of things.
You will be, yeah. You might get a flight this time rather than driving, will you?
I think that's probably safer,
It's a long road. Next weekend, we obviously have the two provincial finals in Ulster and in Leinster. And in the Tailteann Cup, we've got Cavendish, Limerick, Longford, Down Waterford, Meath and Tipperary on Saturday. And on Sunday, we have got Fermanagh, Wexford, Antrim, Leitrim, Offaly, London and Wicklow, Carlow. The under 20 final is also this weekend, and it's a fairly novel pairing. Sligo will be taking on Kildare. Two low enough scoring games at the weekend. Jack McKevitt's wonder score as the clock hit the red for Kildare got them over the line. What, so your buddy Paddy will be very pleased with that. And Kildare, they've had a good run of things over the last little while.
Brilliant coach. Back to back Leinsters. They were, I think, to be fair, there was no real doubts in the honour of the final last year with Tyrone, obviously spearheaded by young Canavan. They were full value for that win. But Brian Flanagan has done an incredible job with Kildare. It was looking touch and go. Yeah. Thought Laverty was going to pull it off with down at Parnell Park on Saturday night. They were both, they were cagey enough games, both of them.
Yeah.
To be fair, but whatever about what happened at Parnell Park, the fairy tale story, and not for Tomás O'Shea and his Kerry team, but Sligo. That is some run they're on.
Sensational.
And what a fairy tale for them in the All-Ireland final. It hasn't been confirmed where that's going to be.
I'll just check, has it not? But that's like Sligo have beaten Roscommon, Galway, Mayo, Kerry. The big dogs. Yeah.
Savage run.
It's unbelievable. Savage and run. Like, there'll be a lot of disappointment in Kerry, obviously, James, because like there was a very strong management team there. They had a strong team themselves. But like that Sligo team just cannot be underestimated. Like that, they are building something very special in Sligo.
They are just like, I think that winning this championship would take Sligo to a new level. I think in terms of confidence in the whole county, they'd have this massive achievement of winning. Sometimes I look at it differently in the bigger counties, as we said before, and when saying a Kerry team winning a minor or a 20 or a Dublin, that you think you're definitely going to make it at that case then. You know, whereas I think the Sligo would have the opposite. They'd have, you know, the grit to go on to senior level and take over. As you could even hear in that speech from the Connacht. You know, they have this mindset of we're on this long term journey, I think. Where sometimes with 20s, with the bigger teams, you know, you might just get a bit ahead of yourself if you get too successful at that level. So I think the Kerry can definitely see potential in four or five of those young lads who if they get the grip between their teeth like Sligo did, they can go on to good things.
Isn't that the challenge, boys? Like, Offaly won the 20s only a couple of years ago, and we haven't seen so much excitement with that because it was a novel victory. Like it would be for like Kildare haven't won a whole pile in terms of All-Ireland titles either. So it'd be massive for either one of these counties on Saturday, whoever gets over the line. But it's that secret formula of turning that in, Tommy, your own county, obviously winning the under 17 title. And how do we get these guys into the senior setup, keep them involved and get them up to top speed sooner rather than later? Because probably haven't seen it with Offaly really as of yet.
And Lee Pearson.
We know it's a big step up, but Tommy, in a county like Offaly winning it, or if Sligo win it, or Kildare even, it goes. It's the opposite of Jimmy's point that if Kerry or Dublin win it, you only need maybe one or two of these guys to come up because there's already a huge base of quality in the senior setup. Whereas in counties where they don't have that senior team that's excelling, you need more.
Sure.
You need 7 or 8 or 10 of these All-Ireland winners to come in and be the backbone of your senior team. So that's the challenge constantly with, I agree, it's whoever wins on Saturday, the confidence you get as a county. Look, I'll be rooting for Kildare because their coach is a good friend of mine, but I think it'd be an incredible story for Sligo to come and win it. What a fairy tale story that would be. And even there's green shoots there, obviously, under Tony McAtee, what he's doing to win the Division 4 title. Sunday didn't go well for them, but Sligo are at the top table for the summer. Mm. They're a 20s team in the All-Ireland, the schools team in the Hogan Cup final, and their senior team is playing in Sam Maguire. So Sligo need to just try and convert that and make that a sustainable. It's not just the summer of 2023, it's the next 5 summers or 10 summers when we're in that bracket as well. But I think it's a fascinating pairing on Saturday. Looking forward to seeing it, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually in Kingspan Breffni Park in Cavan at 1:30. It's live on TG Cahir. So that's the game we're keeping an eye out for. They definitely were cagey games. I thought some of the individual performances, though, like Shane Farrell from Kildare was, I just big fan of this guy. A couple of years in a row, seen him under 20s. Oran Murdoch, you can see why they're excited about him and down at senior level. Some of the Kerry lads, obviously, and in Sligo as well, we've seen some of their stars over the last couple of weeks. So keep an eye on that game at the weekend. Last word before we hit the break, James. When the final whistle went yesterday afternoon and the Paddy Clifford, the Paddy and David Clifford had put in the performance that they did in the circumstances that they played that game yesterday, we saw Micheál Quirk go over at full time and just shepherd David off the pitch. Because, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of kids there that mightn't have understood the situation. And it looked for a second, I was worried that he was going to be swarmed by everybody. But Quirk got him off the field. Paddy was kind of escorted off the pitch. David went up and accepted the trophy and didn't say anything. But you must have been very proud looking down at how they conducted themselves and how they were all kind of looked after on the day.
Yeah, 100%. I thought it was very good of Mike Quirk to go in and take David and Paddy, just get them out of the firing line just for those few minutes, because obviously everyone wants a piece of them at different times. But like, such an unbelievable difficult time for the two lads and their whole family. And for them to show the leadership, the courage, the mental strength to go in and represent Kerry in a Munster final with all the pressure that's on them anyway, I just thought was a great testament to the two lads, and they're just solid as a rock. And it's a good sign of the Kerry dressing room that they wanted to go in and be with the lads and be together and be in that safe space, because, you know, sometimes you might not want to be in that kind of a situation, but it was a good sign with the two lads going back in. So they're a credit to everyone and to Kerry.
So I'd echo 100% that. It was obviously, it's tragic news when we heard on Saturday morning. I suppose the big thing was what the two guys want to do themselves, or the family want to do. So when you seen the two lads were lining out, just goes to show what they mean to Kerry, what Kerry means to those guys. They're obviously massive leaders and brilliant players within that team. But for them to go out 24 hours after and put in the performance that both of them did, I thought was incredible testament to themselves. To their family, obviously, yeah, just a really, really tough time across the board. And I'm sure the Kerry GAA community, but across the country, we said this before, the GAA is a really tight-knit community. And there'll be huge respect, obviously, for the two guys and their families. So hopefully they'll hold up over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, thoughts with them all. That's it for the moment from the Foot Pod. We'll be back in a moment talking about the Ulster final and looking ahead to a few of the other games this weekend. You are very welcome back to episode 19 of the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Big thank you once again to everyone who came out to our live show the last day. I know some people couldn't get tickets. There were over 500 at it in the Great Southern Hotel. We were well looked after by the hotel themselves. We had a great team on the night with Off the Ball, helping us put the show together. You can watch it all back. James, Paddy, Mark O'Shea are all in top form too. So go enjoy that, and we will let you know when we have our next roadshow confirmed. We'll be keeping an eye out over the summer. So that was brought to you with thanks to AIB. The pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. Proud sponsor of the Senior Football Championship. James, I know that you like that line. Paddy, did you get a call from Joe Duffy today? When a story makes Liveline, you know it's got a bit of cut through. The debate...
I've got a lot of updates, a lot of calls.
So the debate about GAA Go... and I suppose streaming services, and I suppose not just GAA Go, it's about games being behind a paywall, really. It was lit last night, especially by Donal O'Cusack. And at the moment, the debate is centered around hurling and the Munster Hurling Championship. And in case anyone doesn't know, Paddy, you're a pundit on GAA Go at the minute, so we're going to talk about it for a few minutes. Like, what do you make of it? What do you make of it all?
Look, it's hard to disagree with a lot of what Donal O'Cusick said on the Sunday game last night. He's very passionate about it, obviously. And we've seen arguably the three best games of the hurling season have been on over the last three weekends. They've been on GAA Go. That's the reality. The Tipperary game, and then it's the first weekend. The Classic and the Gaelic rounds then, full house between Clare getting the better Limerick. And then Saturday night, again, in a packed Porky Queef between Cork and Tip. So I can see why hurling people are frustrated with that we've had these incredible games and they haven't been on free-to-air TV. I think there's a wider issue here, right? The structures in the championship have been changed. Obviously, round-robin stuff in the hurling championship and also then the senior football championship, a completely new criteria, which was being cried out for across the board, have more competitive games. So straight away, there's over 70 more championship games are being on throughout the summer. So that was a major issue for the GAA to try and rectify the structures of the championship. The other major issue they had to fix was the club versus county issue. So they've got all these 70 more championship games, but they've also got condensed the inter-county season by 2 months. So they've got a shorter time frame to play way more matches. So there was always going to be an issue, and these things are in their infancy in terms of the new structures and the schedule. There was going to be an issue where loads of games are going to be on at the same time. And what is the platform to show all of these games? RTE has been at the face of the Sunday game for decades. They are not an exclusive sports channel. So you can't turn around and say, have all day Saturday and all day Sunday exclusively dedicated on RTE 1 and 2 to the GAA Championships. I don't think that's feasible. When there was no other partner involved in terms of free-to-air TV, like a Virgin Media or someone like that, it's a small market in Ireland.
Yeah,
that was always going to be an issue. There's a need for another platform there. Sky obviously left the market, and that's where GAA Go has stepped in. I think it is an issue for people that there's so many games, and some have to be behind a subscription service. And that's the crux of the matter is that people are kind of frustrated that they're having to pay for these games. But I think that's just the future of television, the subscription services. That's like the paywall debate came in 9 years ago with Sky. And I think we kind of crossed that bridge at the time. And that decision was made. Yeah. There was never really going to be going back on that regard. And the other issue for people as well, and this is not a GAA Go issue, I think it's for Irish society, it's a streaming service. So broadband connectivity, it's fine in cities and things like that, but when you're going down into more rural places where people want to watch these games and the connectivity isn't good enough, or you're trying to stream live sport, that's an issue as well. So I think there's a number of different issues at play. I think there's a need to have this service 100%. And I'm proud to be part of the GAA Go story, what we're trying to bring as many games to as many people as we can. The paywall thing, I don't think there is ever going to be going back on that. That is just the nature of it. There is a need for a GAA Go or GAA specific channel because there's so many games on. But in the first couple of weeks, the fact that some of the biggest games have been on GAA Go is unfortunate for the hurling community. But we're going to start seeing this in the football side of things as well, with some massive football games
for sure
next weekend as well. So where do we, there's so many games, they have to be played in such a condensed period of time. What's the alternative? Put it all on free to air. I think that ship sailed 10 years ago, lads.
Well, I suppose the frustration from reading through what Cusack is saying, and I think the frustration is here that certain games should be free to air. And
the biggest games, I understand that.
But at the same time, if GAA Go is going to be a commercial success, you've got to entice people in. And people are saying, why didn't they put the provincial finals on GAA Go yesterday? To be fair now, we all kind of expected those provincial finals to be quite lopsided. And you're not going to sell subscriptions with lopsidedness. So there's a balance here that maybe hasn't been struck between RTE, the public service broadcaster, and GAA Go, which is, in my opinion, it is also the future. Because like we have cried out for years that there aren't enough games being streamed, enough games on television. The pandemic hit, we started seeing club games being streamed, all this, that, and the other. And it's easy for the likes of myself I'm 30 to set up subscriptions, log in, set up as many as I want. But whether you have grandparents or uncles that aren't as au fait with internet. Paddy, we have tech issues every week with your mic. I don't know how you'd be getting
I'm not au fait with it.
You know what I mean? But like for a lot of people, it's going to be a massive challenge. So I just wonder, is there a better onboarding experience or something that can be done to get people on board? I know that there was a nice thing at the start that clubs could put it on in the clubhouse, or that care homes would get it free of charge. And that was done. But like GAGO isn't going to go away. It's going to be here for the next 10, 15, 20 years. I suppose it's just the balance. And that balance early doors. I know Noel Quinn was speaking today that the Limerick Clare game was initially meant to be on a Sunday. And because of the great Limerick run, it was moved as short notice to the Saturday. And then GAGO picked it up. The reality is, some of these games would not have been on Sky, TG Cahir, or RTE if GAGO didn't exist.
Yeah, and that's, because there's so many games now, there needs to be alternative platforms away from just RTE, which is not a specific sports channel. The alternative is no games, and we don't see any of them. So yeah. I agree, the balance of the fixtures being chosen has caused issues here, that you've got unbelievable Munster Hurling Championship games, with one of the few competitions left the GAA, where you know there's guaranteed this is going to be an absolute belter of a game. But the GAA have said, sat down, let's ring fence the provincial championship finals in hurling and football, the All-Ireland semi-finals and finals, that they're all on free-to-air over some other types of games. And the way it's panned out, the draw, some of those provincial finals, like we've seen yesterday.
The Munster Hurling is just sacrosanct. And they are they are the biggest games. Like we got so excited about the league, lads. And it wasn't the greatest league in football, but we got very excited about games in the league. Hurling, the Hurling community don't care about the league. They just don't. And they don't get excited about it. They don't read into it the way that we read into the football league. We have another league kicking in now with the round robin and the football. I just think the Hurling Championship, they've snookered themselves a little bit, and they are the biggest games, those Munster round robin games, that I can totally see the frustrations, but like I can see both sides of it as well. James, what do you think? Like if Mayo, Kerry, you have got a 30-second dawdle down to Killarney to watch that game, but for others around the country that wanted to watch it, like how do you feel about this debate?
Well, I agree with both of you actually to an extent, right? But Tommy, you made an interesting point there about how GAGO have actually kind of sold their product. I don't think that it's out there how accessible that actually is. Like it's, some people kind of treat GAGO as if, oh, once it's on GAGO, we can't watch it. You know, they've just kind of written it off before giving it a go at all, because how would you actually advertise GAGO? RTE aren't going to advertise it. You know, like it has to be in different sections. But I remember watching the Sunday game sometimes, and there'd be a shitty little camera up in the corner of the stand, and you'd be watching through a hazy, foggy camera and you wouldn't see a thing. But now all the games are going to be somewhere anyway. They're going to be televised. It's only going to be a good thing. But I think GAGO have a job to do.
Put your Todd Bowley hat on. What are you going to do to market it a bit better, James? Let's hear you.
I think they have to let people know how easy it is to actually do it.
Yeah.
Advertise the cost of it, like some of the games are very expensive for a once-off game. They have to probably come out of that scene and into the annual subscription.
That's what they're probably trying to push, because it is probably 12 quid a game, but season pass for Christmas, okay, it works out at 150 a match if you were to get the season pass, you know? So
exactly.
I think you're right, though.
I did not hear that once. I did not hear anyone
Paddy.
I didn't hear anything come out about, if you sign up for this, each game will end up costing this amount. You have to come out and explain the ease of this. And if it's not easy enough, they have to make it easier. And that's their responsibility, because there is going to be a little bit of fighting against this. So that's their main responsibility. They're going to have this great service where every game is on it, but they need to advertise it and make everyone know how easy it is.
I have an idea. Target the youth of the country. You're under 16, under 18 players, and incentivize them to teach your granny and granddad how to watch GAGO. There's your marketing campaign. That's what you put your money into GAGO over the next year.
But do you know what? Like this is a new thing. Like GAGO was obviously for customers abroad, living away, Irish people. This is the first time it's brought in. There was a big promotion in terms of the unbelievable deal in terms of getting the subscription before Christmas, where the cost is less than €2 for every single game.
But no one knew that it was going to cost €17 for an individual one.
Oh, I agree. Look, that is excessive. But I think the future is where people... I think that's why I think this debate is good to have now. That we can see these are the amount of games that are going to be on the platform. Sure, we were talking 4 or 5 weeks ago, lads, and people didn't even understand the new structures of the championship. Yeah. Never mind where it was going to be broadcast. So there's so much change, and that's the point I'm making, with fixtures, more games, the structure of the championship, the broadcasting deals that we're on. I think it's clear now there's a need for GAA Go. I agree. It's a responsibility to make it as accessible as possible, as easily downloadable as possible. And then when you get into the streaming aspects for maybe rural areas that don't have that ultra fast fiber broadband, that's nearly a government issue to try and bring that up to speed. But I think there, without a doubt, there's a need for GAA Go. I think people, this debate is healthy to have, because I think people will want to subscribe to it, but it needs to be made a little bit easier for people as well. But in terms of the coverage we're trying to promote with GAA Go, we want to show as many games and bring as many games to supporters around the country as possible, and do it in a really good way in terms of how we produce it, how we show the games, the whole product. It's a new thing. There was always going to be these issues, but I think it's clear now people understand. If I want to watch as many games as I'd like throughout the summer, well, then I'm going to need to get on board with GAA Go. So I agree. I don't think it's going anywhere, lads. This is going to be the future.
Yeah.
I think that people do want to kind of naturally err against it. Do you know, it's like our initial reaction is, oh, I don't like the sound of that. Do you know? Whereas I think
the Irish thing, Jimmy.
It is a bit. But I think I'm in a group chat and he was about 40 and he said, geez, that Kerry Mayo game is on GAA Go. Pity. I would have loved to have watched it. I was like, why can you not watch it? It's just kind of, no, I'd rather have the argument that GAA Go shouldn't exist at all rather than go to a small bit of effort to get it. But I think we just have to change our mindset on it, because in the long run, it will definitely be beneficial to all of us.
And I think it'll be another day, because we're going to touch on the Ulster final now. And James, I'm going to let you go to training because I know you're under pressure, but so I'll come to you first on that. This is a conversation for another day, but Cormac O'Malley, a Mayo man on Twitter who'd be involved in working in and around social media and stuff like that, he made a great point, I thought. And it was around the promotion of the game and the accessibility of the game. And he said, you know, football has been behind the paywall for how many years? But kids discover their stars, their superstars, their heroes nowadays on the likes of FIFA, on TikTok, on Instagram, on clips on YouTube. I went, like, lads, we might have a chat about that again. The way that the NFL market their game, the way the soccer market their game, the GAA are starting to get a little bit better, but like there is miles and miles and miles that they can go with that. There's so much more we can do with that. And even like having clips up and stuff on TikTok. And we'll get there.
Todd Bowley on a road show.
Todd Bowley is going to host next week's pod. That is what we're going to do.
The only man for this gig, lads.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to the Ulster final. James, I'm going to start with you. And if you have to go, James, myself and Paddy can finish on it. So to anyone watching along, if James disappears from the screen, we'll let you know. Otherwise, I'll just say good luck to you later on. Derry Armagh this weekend is probably going to be, let's call it a spade, the most interesting provincial final we've had this year. So what way do you see this going? Derry defending champions. Armagh have had such a bad record in Ulster under McGeaney, but could they turn it around?
I've said this so many times over the weekend that if you get into predicting these games, our predictions are all over the place. It's so difficult to call these games. It's so difficult. And in fairness, we've criticised Derry in the past for their attack. I think it has improved. I think they've gotten better at what they were doing rather than kind of implemented anything amazing that's new. So I think that Armagh will know Derry very well. Armagh have gone back to absolutely root one attractive attacking football. I'm looking forward to seeing how Derry can cope with that. They'll obviously get bodies back, but the two difference in styles will be very entertaining. And all those Ulster Championship games so far, they've been high scoring. You know, they all kind of know how to get around a mass defence or the low block, as they call it in soccer. So like, I think that Armagh going long will cause Derry some serious problems. And if Armagh can just figure out how to stop Derry getting a goal or two, I think that Derry could struggle to get enough points. Any team we said this to a fellow I work with today, any team that comes down to Tralee and should have beaten Kerry and Tralee, it was a poor game, but you can tell that Armagh were going down to Tralee to show that they can actually be resilient and stick in a game and show that dogged style. They kind of banked that. Then they brought the football into it in the championship. If they can get those two things right, which I hope they can, I think that we could see a very good Armagh display. Obviously, Derry are probably going to go in as favourites, but Armagh's tactics could cause Derry some serious problems.
Could make it interesting. Paddy, what way are you looking at this?
I agree with a lot of what James has said. It's a contrast of styles of what we've seen in the championship to date. Armagh definitely have gone back towards, we said, back to the future in their style of playing the trios, their championship matches to date. They've got a few more foils and a bit more of a scoring threat outside of Rian O'Neill, which was important for them to find. And I think the interesting thing, Derry, I've watched Derry a number of times this year, was up at their last game, obviously against Monaghan as well. They attack together and they defend together.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn that Derry defence over, like there was plenty of times in their game in Healy Park against Monaghan a couple of weeks ago where 14 of their players are inside the opposition 65.
It's 15 and 15, isn't it?
So, like, it's not like they're this idea that Derry are really defensive and we'll have 15 guys sitting back there and it's like, we're going to bore you to death. They're attacking the game as well. And it's in that instance, how do Armagh counteract that? Because the way to beat that is transition really, really quickly. And that's what Armagh have been, that's what they've been showing. I think it suits Armagh, the players they have as well. So I think that's a fascinating thing. How brave are Armagh in terms of keeping the likes of Turbitt and Murnin up the pitch? And it's basically let Derry come on to them and play on the counter-attack. What do Derry do? How do they approach that? Is it, we'll put Conor McCluskey and Chris McKay back there and we'll back 2-on-2 in there? Or do they maybe be a bit more conservative and instead of 14 guys attacking up the pitch, or 15, because Orhan Lynch goes with them, do they say we're going to keep it a little bit more in order at the back? So I think, look, without a doubt, I think it's going to be the best game of the four provincial finals. I think it's two teams that are in really good form again. Again, if this was at the start of the Ulster Championship and we got Armagh to finish the end of the Division 1 league campaign and relegation, you're saying this is a slam dunk for Derry. I think it's a lot tighter than that. I'd be edging towards Derry to win this game. I think they have progressed from their breakout year last season when they lost their championship to the confidence about their play as well. And Armagh have been good through the Ulster Championship and getting better, but Derry have as well. Like, I was very impressed with their game against Monaghan in terms of their how clinical they were up front, but their spread of scorers, taking that burden off solely Shane McGuigan, Conor Glass, Ethan Doherty, these guys coming forward. All their players that had good years last year, that you can see the confidence they've all got from the likes of Cassidy, Conor McCluskey, these guys, there's a confidence about them now as well. So I think they're in a really good place. I think they'll win this game, but I think it's going to be, well, I'm hoping it's a brilliant, brilliant game. And I think the contrast of styles between both sets of players, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Does someone try something new in this game? I'm looking forward to it, I have to say. More so than probably the game in Croke Park earlier that day. But
yeah.
I think it'd be a great game to wrap up the end of the provincial championships.
As much as Derry can kind of chip in now from more areas, they're still very reliant on McGuigan, I think. And he has been exceptional. Like, he has had a really good year.
Looks really
excellent
sharp.
Championships so far. Like, Armagh have to zone in on him. If they can take the scores off McGuigan, then there will come a stage where Derry just won't have that penetration, I think. And the other thing that I would do if I was Armagh, I've never played an Ulster Championship match, but I would keep two up, because even when you saw Monaghan put 15 behind the ball against Derry, Derry could still pick holes willy-nilly. Honestly, they had no problem in working a shot. I know that Monaghan
were so gorgeous.
They were, I know, but even then, get 12 back, leave outlets so you can do that transition. Leave your Murnin, leave Grugan, maybe Rian O'Neill.
And then I think they will. I think Armagh will take that approach.
I hope they do.
To see. I think they'll gamble, maybe not all the time, but at certain stages, I think they leave bodies up the pitch. And this is the point we made with Monaghan. Manor probably would have been better off doing that instead of asking Conor McManus to come back and try and be a bloody wing back.
Exactly.
I think there will be stages where you'll see Armagh being really brave and keeping guys inside the Derry 45 and trying to nick a turnover. And that's the challenge we said with Clare at the weekend. They were so sloppy in possession. They were kind of naive at times. And they turned the ball over and Kerry just killed them. Derry are so good at keeping the ball. Mm-hmm. But if Armagh can turn them over, get some pressure on, try and entice Derry players down blind alleys and turn them over, and then just launch a 50, 60-yard kick pass inside, I think it could be fascinating to watch.
Because that Derry full back line, in terms of aerially, they'd rarely get a testing. Do you know, like, it's not often that the ball would be going in long and high. I think that's Armagh's main attribute, is their hands and their long kicking. Yeah. But if you look at where the managers are coming from in this, like Rory Kavanagh, if he can do back-to-back Ulster titles, and I know Gallagher, we're saying provincial... What's that?
Rory Gallagher.
Gallagher, sorry. Delete that. He'd be saying, if we can do back-to-back Ulster titles, and I know we're saying that the provincials are less weighted now, but back-to-back Ulsters is a massive feat. And then you look at McGeaney, who 100% needs a championship medal. So they need to win something. They need to win an Ulster. Like, they're under pressure as well. So both teams will seriously need this win, which is going to make it be played in unbelievable intensity.
The winners at the weekend, I think, are in contention. That's the way you'd look at it.
It's a massive game for both teams. But like, mm-hmm. since both coaches, where both teams are at, what it will say about both groups, whoever gets over the line on Sunday, I think it's...
Yeah.
I am genuinely, we said it straight away when the semi-finals were on, I'm excited for this game. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a brilliant spectacle. Hopefully the weather's good. And I think we're going to see some big plays and some big gambles from both coaches and both teams. And I think it's going to be a brilliant watch.
Can't wait for it. Derry Armagh, Clonus, 4 o'clock. It's on BBC Northern Ireland and on RT2. Dublin Loud will be on in Croke Park at 1:45 p.m. It's on RT2. There's 4 Tailteann Cup games on Sunday. There is 4 Tailteann Cup games on Saturday. Cavan Leash is live on GAA Go at 4 o'clock. And the All-Ireland Under 20 final, Sligo versus Kildare, is in Kingspan Breffni Park at 1:30 p.m. Another football pod in the books. Paddy and James, thanks very much for joining us again this week. Looking forward to catching up next Monday. We'll have loads to chat through. Thanks again to everybody who went to the show on Thursday night. Hope you've gone back and looked at it if you haven't, or listened to it. And we might see you at the next show. Paddy, James, well done. Talk soon.
Night, lads. Night, guys.